In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And thou shalt renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, never rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Volunteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
In this week, there are many Marian moments or feast days this past 7 days. So I'd like to just go through them. And then I'd like to tell you a story that I heard on the Blessed Mother years ago, but I'd like to tell you the story. And then I'd like to talk about Our Lady Guadalupe, specifically the many miracles that have come as a result of the apparition of Our Lady Guadalupe. So that'll be our program this evening. The Marian feast days that we celebrate this past week would be the Immaculate Conception, which normally we celebrate on December 8th, but given that that fell on Sundays, it's transferred to the following Monday, which we celebrated. The Immaculate Conception is the patroness of the United States. And that means that Mary was conceived without original sin, and she was preserved from original sin, so that when our Lord would be born, that our Lord would be born of the most pure channel. Thomas Aquinas says, otherwise Jesus would have had his divine nature perfect, but his human nature would be tainted with original sin. And Thomas Aquinas says that's an abomination. Think about half of his nature is perfect, his human nature will be tainted by original sin. So we celebrate the Immaculate Conception, normally December 8th, this year was December 9th. Then December 9th would be the feast of Saint Juan Diego. So Saint Juan Diego, of course, is very much related to Mary, right? Then December 10th, we celebrate Our Lady of Loreto. Our Lady of Loreto is, according to tradition, the home where Mary lived in Nazareth was transferred to a place in Italy along the Adriatic coast in Ancona, and that's where it is today, Our Lady of Loreto. So that by that we honor especially the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And then tomorrow, of course, we celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, Lady of Guadalupe is the patroness of the Americas, patroness of Mexico, and she's also known as the Star of Evangelization. Okay, so this is a story I heard probably about 50 years ago when I was, I think it was the first year I was in Villanova, which was actually 50 years ago. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, how time flies. I entered the university 50 years ago. It seemed almost like yesterday, no? So it was 1974, right? 2024. Is that 50 years? Is that 50 years? So here's the story that one of the Augustinian priests told, very much related to the topic of the Immaculate Conception of Lady Guadalupe. It's a story that he read from the Ligurian magazine, which has been for many years one of the most well-known Catholic magazines put out by the Ligurian Press in honor of Saint Alfonso Liguori. So to understand this story, we have to understand the context of the world after the Second Vatican Council, especially here in the United States. There was a heresy many years ago called the iconoclastic heresy. Have any of you ever heard of that, the iconoclastic heresy? Well, the iconoclastic heresy would be trying to get rid of the icons. So that happened many years ago, and it infected the United States after the Second Vatican Council, which in many places they're trying to get rid of the statues, the stained glass windows, the pictures. I would say not so much in the Latino and Filipino culture, but the Anglo-Saxon culture, yes. Which is, I was brought up and raised in that environment. The Anglo-Saxon culture, that's my heritage, whether I like it or not, no? But the Filipinos as well as the Mexicans, to get rid of statues, that would be, I think that'd be impossible. Because it's so part of the Mexican culture, so part of the Filipino culture, but not so deeply ingrained in the Anglo-Saxon culture. So, and many of the churches, what they're doing is they're getting rid of the statue, the stained glass windows, the paintings, the icons, and turning these Catholic churches basically almost as if they were Quaker meeting houses. You know, Quaker, you know, the Quakers, you just have a white wall, that's all you have, no? So, not exactly, but kind of, getting rid of all the statues and relying only on the Bible, the Word of God. So that's the social milieu, the social context. Okay, and here's the story. There's a priest that was transferred to a parish where that priest before him was totally absorbed in the iconoclasm. So he got rid of everything, basically. So the new priest comes in who wanted to reestablish devotion to God through the statues. So he checked out his church and in his rectory, there was a statue of the Blessed Mother that was thrown there, you know, 10 years earlier, no? And the statue had was dusty, had cobwebs, and the paint was falling off, and the statue was very beautiful, but it's there for 10 years. Guess what's going to happen? So the priest decided that he would restore that statue to the church. So, what did he have to do? He had to find, not simply, he had to take it to a paint shop. Just cleaning it off because it was already starting to, the paint was falling off and it had to be really retouched. So he found a shop where the owner and the workers said that they would restore the statue. And these men were not daily communicants, you know, wearing rosaries around their necks or going to confession every week. They hadn't done the spiritual exercises, no. They're not carrying the Marian compendium, you know, underneath their arms, no. Quite the contrary. So these were kind of vulgar men. And so there they are, and they've got this statue in front of them. So right away, the four-letter words, the off-color jokes, the bad stories, they seized upon just looking at the statue. they felt that they couldn't be telling dirty jokes in front of the statue. So they started to work on it, and after a day, one of them said, "Well, I'm a Catholic. I used to pray the Hail Mary. Why don't we start by praying a Hail Mary?" No. So they prayed a Hail Mary. Then, following day, they started to talk about their past religious experiences, and half of them were Catholics. No? After about 3 days, the owner of the shop told the priest, "Get this statue out of here because you're turning into a chapel." No. So the presence of the statue had transformed the environment. So the priest said, "Okay, finish it up. I'll pay you, and then I will take the statue and I'll restore it in my church." Okay, so that's the first part of the story, is that the statue was actually present, transforming lives. Just in the presence of Mary, these men were no longer going to be telling those bad stories using the four-letter words, but rather returning to their origin, which was their Catholic faith. After the statue was transferred into the church, there was a niche that didn't have a statue. So the priest decided that he would take that statue and place it in that niche. And the people loved it. So the statue was blessed. And part of the church. One of the young women that saw this statue fell in love with it. So she asked the priest if she could place a bouquet of roses in front of the statue every day. So the priest said, "Of course you can." So every morning, she brought in a bouquet of roses and placed the roses in front of the statue of the Blessed Mother. So this went on for a couple of years, embellishing the beauty of the church with the statue of Mary, but also the bouquet of roses. But something happened. This young woman, fell in love with this man who was a non-believer. Fell in love with a man that was a non-believer. And there's a saying that goes like this, that love is blind, but marriage restores the sight. Ever hear that one? Love is blind, but marriage restores the sight, right? So she fell in love with this guy who was a non-believer. And their decision was that they were going to get married in Las Vegas, in a wedding chapel, and not to get married in the church, which means to abandon the practice of the faith. But this would happen. Before abandoning the church, she decided that she would talk with the priest before, because she established a pretty good rapport with the pastor. Felt that it wouldn't be good manners just to take off with saying hasta luego, goodbye to the priest. So she rings the doorbell, secretary opens up, door to the rectory. She says, "Can I talk with Father?" She says, "Yes." Secretary calls the priest, goes into one of the adjacent rooms, and they start to talk. And she says, "Well, it looks, Father, that I've chosen another path. I fall in love with this man, and we're going to get married in Las Vegas. And that's basically it. And I'll no longer be able to visit church and bring the flowers." So the priest didn't say anything, but he pulled out a pad of paper and he started to write he started writing the piece of paper. He was writing for about 2 minutes, and then he folded up the piece of paper, gave it to the woman, and said, okay, what I'd like you to do, if you could do this, go into the church, and I want you to kneel down in front of the statue of the Blessed Mother, and I want you to open up this piece of paper, and I want you to very calmly to read through this piece of paper 2 times. Will you do that for me? Yes, I will. So she goes into the church. She kneels down in front of the statue. She opens up the piece of paper. And she starts to read. And this is the essence of what the priest had written. Mary, my mother, my guide, my life, my sweetness, and my hope. I have loved you these many years, and I have shown my love for you by placing a bouquet of roses at your feet every morning. But it looks as if I've chosen another path. I'm choosing to get married in Las Vegas, and I will leave you now, never to return again. Goodbye, your daughter. Two hours later, the priest came to the church, and the woman was in tears. And to make a long story short, she dropped her boyfriend like a hot potato. She eventually fell in love with a good practicing Catholic, married and raised a good Catholic family. It's a great story. And I'll give you a literary interpretation of it if I can. They're actually, okay, the environment is that of an iconoclasm. First story shows how the presence of Mary purifies us from sin. Okay? The presence of Mary purifies us from sin. Present of that statue, these men could not be using this bad language or telling dirty stories in the presence of the Blessed Mother. If you love Mary, you get to know Mary and to love Mary. What Mary's going to do is Mary's going to help us little by little to overcome our sinful tendencies. Okay? You have to believe that. If you really love Mary, you're talking to Mary, you're praying to Mary, you're entrusting yourself to Mary, Mary's going to help us to overcome our bad inclinations, our bad proclivities, our bad tendencies, and to be able to start to practice a more virtuous life. So I'm going to invite all of us, starting right tonight, before you retire, talk to Mary. What is the sin that dominates you most? Okay, we all have it, no? What is your kryptonite? Okay, what is your fatal flaw? What is your basic weakness? And beg Mary, because we're right at the vigil of Our Lady of Guadalupe, beg Mary for the grace, beg Mary for the grace to be able to overcome that. We have to do our part, but Mary's presence is very powerful. If you trust. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's jealousy or envy. Maybe it's pride. Those are the capital sins. By now you know what they are because you've done the exercise with me. Bring that to Mary and beg Mary for the grace to be able to conquer that. Live a life of greater holiness. It's another way of putting it. Live a life of greater holiness and have a real desire to become the saint that God is calling you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now the essence of my talk today, I want to talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now there are thousands of talks and writings and books on Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I was thinking when I was preparing my talk, I have to talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe because tomorrow's Our Lady of Guadalupe. If I didn't talk about that, I think that this would be I'd be out of place, no? So what I'd like to do with Our Lady of Guadalupe, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the last apparition and just give you the first few words. And then I'd like to go through the many miracles that are attributed to Our Lady of Guadalupe. This morning I was able to write down 12 of the miracles that I'm aware of, okay? There are probably hundreds, but I was able to write down 12 in about 3 or 4 minutes, the ones that occurred to me. All right, so ready? Our Lady Guadalupe appeared in 1531. She appeared to Juan Diego. She appeared 4 times to Juan Diego, and once. So many people say there were 5 apparitions, which is really true. We got 4 to Juan Diego, then to Juan Diego's uncle, okay? Mm-hmm. So there really, you can say that there were 5 apparitions. If you count the one to Juan Bernardino, which I would count. That's part of the whole understanding of the many miracles. So she appears December 9th, which happens to be the feast day of Juan Diego. So she appears on December 9th to Juan Diego, and she sees Juan Diego 2 times that day. Okay? Then December 10th, there's another apparition, and it's kind of like an interplay between the apparition and the bishop. So they're going back and forth. The bishop's name is Juan Zumárraga, who was a Franciscan bishop, the first bishop of the city of Mexico, 1531. The 4th apparition would be the famous apparition of December 12th. And these are the words. Juan Diego is heading toward the city of Mexico because his uncle Juan Bernardino is dying. So he tries to go around the hill called Tepeyac because he wants to avoid her. Okay? Trying to go around the hill of Tepeyac to avoid her, and she cuts him off. And she asks him, "Where are you going?" And he says, "I'm going to the city of Mexico to look for a priest so that my uncle can receive the sacraments." And she says these words in Spanish, "No te fliques, no soy yo tu madre." No te fliques, no soy yo tu madre. And she says, "Estás en el cruzar de mis brazos. Estás siempre en mi sombra. Estás en el hueco de mis regazos." Those would be the words in Spanish. Okay? Translated into English, okay? No te aflijas would be English for do not worry. No soy yo tu madre, am I not your mother? Then, I have you in the crossing of my arms. Cruzado mis brazos. Then, are you not always in mi sombra, which would be, if you know Spanish well, that would be my shadow. Okay? Hueco de mi regazo is difficult to translate in English. No? Spanish, it's easy to understand. Hueco de mi regazo would be the opening of my regazo, would be my, like my apron. Okay? So those are the words. And these are the words. What would be the spiritual interpretation? First is that Mary is the mother of God, she's the mother of the church, and she's the mother of each and every one of us. She's our universal mother. Okay. In the Crusade, mis brazos, what does that mean? You are in my heart. We want to seek refuge in the heart of Mary. We want to seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Estás siempre en mi sombra. Wherever you go, your shadow is going to be following you, right? So your shadow, which means, in Spanish, is Santa Maria del Camino. Santa Maria del Camino, which means Our Lady of the Way, wherever we go, Mary wants to come with us. Then hueco de mi regazo, and this is St. Louis de Montfort, Mary is saying, you are within my womb. St. Louis de Montfort says, we are called to go into the womb of Mary. What is the most intimate relationship between two human beings on a human level? A baby being formed in the womb of a mother. A lot of you women are your mothers, no? You have that baby that you're forming for probably close to 9 months, right? And you're forming that baby. On a supernatural plane, the relationship between us in Holy Communion is much more intimate because we have the blood of Christ, the soul of Christ, which is mixing with our soul and our blood. So that's even more intimate on a supernatural plane. Okay, now I'm going to go through a list of miracles, and why not beg Mary that she will work miracles in our lives? Could it happen? Yes. Could it?
Yes.
So this very night, as we're getting ready to celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe, we're all going to be asking for some miracle. And all of us are different. I have so many intentions, they place it on the altar, I feel that the altar is going to cave in. Hasn't happened yet, though. Sometimes I'm placing on the altar thousands of people. That's a lot. It's a lot. When I celebrate Mass, I'll often say, pray that this Mass will save a million souls. Yep. Am I asking for too much?
No.
I hear the Lord saying, why are you asking for so little? Ask for more. See, we receive little because we ask for little. When you get close to Mary, don't be afraid to ask Mary for something that you might feel is way beyond human capacity. But don't forget, she's the mother of God. The merits of Mary goes beyond the angels, the archangels, the virtues, the powers, the cherubim and the seraphim, the martyrs, the virgins, the doctors, all those angels and saints do not equal the merit of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I don't think you understand it yet, but hopefully at the end of this course you'll understand what I'm talking about. We receive little because we don't have enough faith. We have faith, but face it, our faith is weak. Our faith is weak. So let's go through a series of these miracles and let's ask Mary to work miracles in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's start with 1531. And I'll take you up to about 2006. Some miracles during the course of these past 450 years. Y'all listening? Okay, the first miracle there in 1531, during the apparition, you're going to get a series of miracles. First miracle is the roses that are growing in the middle of winter. You're not going to have roses growing in the winter weather. So we're going to see a lot of miracles on a natural plane. Second miracle would be, you've done any gardening work. I've done a little bit. We actually live in Hawaiian gardens, right? You're not going to see flowers growing in the desert next to cactus. You're not going to see that. You got a garden, you know what it takes to cultivate roses. You have to have a certain fertile ground. You got to mulch and peat moss and a lot of different things so that these flowers can grow. Third miracle would be, there were roses, but these were Castilian roses that would grow in Spain. Why was this important? Because was he Mexican or was he a Spaniard? Okay, so the bishop was a Spaniard. He was not born in Mexico. So if he's going to be seeing Castilian roses, that's going to be even more evident that there's something very special what's happening. All right, so there, December 12th, right there in Tepeyac, when a lady is talking to Juan Diego and asking him to gather those roses, in those roses you have three different miracles. The cold weather, the infertile ground, and the Castilian roses. So you got three miracles in one, right there. Yeah, let's move on. So Juan Diego, a lady tells him to cut the roses, to gather the roses, to put them in a place that's called his tilma, which would be like his apron. And I love this detail because it says that he cut them and kind of threw them in his apron. But Mary, she organized. Spanish, había arreglado. Okay, she organized those roses in the tilma of Juan Diego. Do you have any disorders in your life? Or is your life perfectly ordered? Hello, anyone home? You know, that could be the miracle that we could beg for. What do you think? Maybe we have some emotional disorders, maybe some mental disorder, maybe some intellectual, maybe some social disorders, maybe some type of moral disorder that's called sin. Hello? Maybe some spiritual disorder, our prayer life isn't really where it should be. Mm-hmm. Ask Mary to order the disorder in your life. Isn't that Ignatian? Yes. Have any of you done the exercises? Isn't the purpose of the exercise to order the disorder in my life so that I can seek and pursue God's will? That's annotation number one of the exercises. I really believe if you people take this course seriously, this course can transform your life. If you take it seriously. If you keep reading these chapters that I've written, my purpose is you're going to fall in love with Mary. Is the reading helping out? Can't hear you.
Yes.
Okay, good. My hope is that you really fall in love with Mary and do your part by doing the Lectio Divina, reading and stopping and talking to Mary. Have this Marian colloquy. You're talking with Mary. All right, let's move on with the story. Juan Diego arrives at the residence of the bishop. And he is already... The best word would be he's seen as a nuisance, okay? Spanish, cae gordo, they're saying, huh? He's seen as a nuisance, huh? And as a nuisance as well as they see him as he's a liar. He's inventing this fictitious vision that he's had of this woman. This guy's creating stories, no? So, what does he do? He's running with his tilma folded up so the roses won't fall. Mm-hmm. So these individuals that are really starting to dislike Juan Diego, you see him doing that, and what do they do? They pull down the tilma, then the roses remain painted on his tilma. Read the story, okay? If you really love Our Lady Guadalupe, Nican Mopua would be the most authentic presentation. Nican Mopua, that would be the Nahuel, the language of the Aztec, but it's translated into from Antonio Valeriano would be the author of that. Well, you can get it in Spanish and English, Portuguese. It's very, very famous. Lady Guadalupe is perhaps the most famous of all the apparitions with Lourdes and Fatima, maybe second and third to it. And I'm telling a lot of the Mexicans people, I mean, you should be the experts, no? Man. And you got your children, and you got your friends. We have a lot of Mexicans. I mean, you should be the experts. I'm going to tell you an ironic, funny story. About 20 years ago, I was knocking on doors, kind of like the Jehovah Witnesses, no? Because if the people don't come to the church, I go out and seek them. I would be there with a group of women missionaries, and I was always treated in the English etiquette with, my biggest fear would be the pit bulls, no? So I'd always allow the women to go first, and I would follow them. You know? I called them un caballero. I was like, yeah. Caballero, no, gentlemen, you gotta be a gentleman, women first, right? Check out the coast is clear, I'll follow you, no? But I remember visiting a house with these missionaries and a visitor, and the visitor came in and saw this beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe. And she said to the woman, the visitor could only speak English. And the house was Mexican house, family from Michoacan, okay? And the visitor said, do you know anything about Our Lady Guadalupe? Well, you know, yeah, December 12th, Juan Diego and the flowers and anything more? No. So the visitor went on to tell in graphic detail everything about Our Lady Guadalupe, and I was translating, no? The visitor happened to be my mother. So she was going on and on and on and on, the Mexican lady going like this, no? And I was translating, no? But it should be the other way around. Should be the other way around. You know that you should be the experts in the world because of what happened there in Mexico. And you, the Mexicans here, you're Catholics because of Our Lady Guadalupe. Right? Be honest. Because Our Lady Guadalupe, you know you're Catholics. I'm Catholic because of Our Lady of Lepanto, Our Lady of the Rosary, because I'm Caucasian, no? If it weren't for the victory of Our Lady of the Rosary in 1571 in Lepanto, I would be a Muslim. So thanks be to God, Our Lady of the Rosary, I'm a Catholic, no? So we all attribute, in one way or another, our faith to Jesus, but also the presence of Mary. I don't think anyone would be here if they didn't have some type of Marian experience in your life. Right? Amen?
Amen.
We've all had some Marian visitation or encounter, or maybe a mystical experience that really has touched us in a very powerful way. Okay, so let's move on with the miracles. So he pulls down the tilma, and the flowers they remain painted on the tilma. This is before he arrives at the residence of the bishop. So he's got to wait a long time. Talk about the model of patience. And then they let Juan Diego in, and then Juan Diego goes before the bishop, whose name is Juan Zumárraga. He falls down on his knees before the bishop, and then he opens up his tilma, and there we have a couple of miracles. You got the roses, that's already a miracle, but even the greater miracle is, guess what? You all know the greatest miracle is the image of Mary is painted on the tilma, painted by the Holy Spirit. I've never spent a long time on it, but there are books, hundreds of pages written on the interpretation of the image of Our Lady Guadalupe. You know, hundreds of pages, no more doctors and scientists and theologians. So if you want, I'm not an expert in that. About 10 years ago, we had one of the best experts from Mexico, Fernando, came and he gave a series of talks in the parish about 10 years ago. Mexican, speaks perfect English, and he gave us a beautiful series of talks on Our Lady Guadalupe, as well as on the tilma. Okay, so there's the great miracle of Our Lady Guadalupe on the tilma. Okay, another miracle then is that Juan Diego goes to the bishop. Our Lady has already said, don't worry, your uncle is healed. So he believed right away. He didn't go back to see. He believed. And guess what happened? His uncle, who was almost dead, perfectly healed. And he travels, which means he's got to travel. Got to travel more than 10 miles. I mean, he didn't have any Rolls Royce or any scooter or anything. His uncle was probably in his 80s. Had to walk 10 miles to Mexico. That's a miracle. How's an 80-year-old man that could barely get out of the bed. He's going to be walking 10 miles, and there he is, going to the bishop and telling the bishop what had happened. Now, I have to study in greater detail, but perhaps the same time that Our Lady was talking to Juan Diego, could Padre Pio bilocate? Yes, he could. Well, there's no reason why Mary couldn't bilocate. Padre Pio can do it. Mary could do it, right? So there's a good chance, this is my opinion now, that when he is there talking to Mary on Monte Tepeyac, she's zoom going 10 miles away, or the distance it was, healing Juan Bernardino. Do any of you have any wounds? Hello?
Yes,
Father. You finished the course with Father Lino? You still have those wounds? Say yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
Ask Mary to heal you. Ask Mary to heal you. Do you believe she can do it?
Yes, Father.
Más o menos, huh? Often we don't receive it because we're asking, but we don't really believe. This is our prayer. Well, Mary, this is what we think. Mental reservation? Well, Mary, I know you're not going to do it, but just in case, no? Yeah. I know you're not going to do it, but just in case you might want to do it, I wouldn't be resistant to that happening, no? Got to pray for the faith of little boy, huh? Little boy that moved the mountain. Mm-hmm. Any of you see the movie Little Boy? Great little movie. It came out about 10 years ago, no? Little boy that moved the mountain because he had faith. So I think our faith in Mary, it has to grow. Amen?
Amen.
We have it, but it has to grow. So those are a series of miracles. Okay. Have any of you ever been to Mexico to Our Lady of Guadalupe?
Yes.
Okay. Impressive, isn't it? Yeah. It is one of the most visited places in the world. I've heard St. Peter's in Rome is one. Our Lady of Guadalupe is two. Then Pietrelcina, where Padre Pio's, many people over the past couple of decades, they love Padre Pio. So they visit Padre Pio. His incorrupt body had the stigmata for, 50 years, right? Okay. Already with those miracles, we already mentioned about six of them, with those miracles, people are already being converted. Now up to that point, Catholicism in Mexico is very little. And there was a danger, if you read the historical account, there's a danger that the Aztecs and the Spanish were going to get into a fight, and the Aztecs were the most powerful warriors in the world back then, would have destroyed the Spanish. Now they were powerful warriors. And they could have destroyed the Spanish. So we're going to see there's going to be another cultural, social miracle through Mary. So maybe if you know, there's the old church and the new church now, and Mexico City is actually sinking. You know that? So you got the old church and the new church. And you have different paintings in both of the churches. The old church, you have a painting of another miracle. This was the catalyst that brought about the massive conversion of the Mexicans. Up to this point, they're converting little by little, but it's not a massive conversion. And this is what happened. The Indians were rejoicing at what had happened there with Our Lady Guadalupe. So they were celebrating, and one of the warriors, took his bow and arrow, and he shot the arrow, and the arrow went right through the neck of an innocent person, and killed him. So what happened was, there he is laying dead there, and puts him in contact with the image of Our Lady Guadalupe, and he comes back to life. With that, now you got the massive conversion of the Mexican to Catholicism. That was the catalyst. The other miracles were great. But once that happened, bringing someone back to life, and also, you got a couple of doctors here. They pulled the arrow out. What would happen? Pulled the arrow out, and he ends up only with the two little holes there, where the arrow had actually pierced the neck. If that's not a miracle, nothing is, no? And you didn't have modern surgery. I have a brother that's a surgeon, and modern surgeon could probably get it out, you know, but with danger. It pulls it out like that, and then you can just see the two little holes, no? That's another miracle, no? So I love this because it's just miracle after miracle after miracle from Our Lady Guadalupe. And if she did these miracles years ago, can't she do miracles today? Hello?
Yes.
She can do miracles today. If we believe. If we believe. We have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we'd be able to say to the mountain to be moved. And it moved and it would obey us. Yes? So those are miracles that occurred. So let me tell more modern miracles now. Okay, this happened. I was doing my research in preparation for this talk and listening to a couple of presentations. And this happened. This happened about 100 years ago. I think it was in 1923. About 100 years ago. There was, Our Lady Guadalupe, the image was in the old church for many years. Well, here's another miracle. The tilma was made of maguey, which would be cactus material. Okay? That Mexicans would wear back then. And usually that would decompose in about 20 years at most. Fragile material. That was exposed to smoke and the temperature and people touching it, people kissing it. I mean, how on earth could something like that exist 500 years with that happening? There's another miracle. Because if right away they put it in a glass case with proper temperature, it's just exposed to the elements for, this is it, 1531, almost 500 years. So the fact that it has persevered in almost 500 years, there's another miracle for you. But here's one of my favorite miracles. And this is probably the most famous modern miracle. Maybe some of you have heard of it. And if you've been to the Basilica, you'll see something related to that. There was the talk that I was listening to by this priest said it was an atheistic mason that came into the church, and this was before it was behind the glass case. He came in, he looked like a very pious person, he had a bouquet of roses, and he knelt down in front of the image, looking like he was going to be saying his rosary, and he left the bouquet of roses, and in that bouquet of roses was, the guy said, about six bombs. I thought that it was one, but this priest was saying, no, there were a series of bombs, I think five or six bombs, that were hidden in the bouquet of roses. So he gets up, and he leaves, and the bombs explode right in front of the image. The image should have been smashed to smithereens. Now, in the church itself, statues were damaged. Other buildings close to it were damaged. Then there was a huge metal crucifix. Maybe you saw this if you were there. Huge metal crucifix that was bent over backwards. Have any of you been there? Did you see it? I mean, it's a huge metal crucifix. Almost as if Jesus allowed himself to suffer so that his mother would not suffer. That's a spiritual interpretation. And there the image, nothing at all happened to it. That's probably the most famous modern miracle. Let me tell you one or two more, and then we'll be able to break into our groups. For me, I think about a Lady Guadalupe, I just think about miracle upon miracle upon miracle. But she can work miracles in our own lives if we let her. She's just as powerful today as she was 500 years ago. She's the mother of God. She's the queen of the angels and saints. Don't limit the power of Mary. Don't limit it. Okay, this one happened in, this happened in about year, around the year 2006. 2006, in Mexico, the government was planning to legalize abortion in Mexico. Now in Mexico, it's legalized in some of the states. Especially DF, the city of Mexico, which would be their capital. So there was a debate in the Congress whether or not to legalize it or not. So the Mexican people, the good Catholics, obviously didn't want this to be part of their, part of the Constitution. Yeah. So they're coming in, offering a lot of prayers and novenas to Our Lady Guadalupe. Now right around the time, which sad to say, it's going to be legalized. It was either 2006 or 2008, back then. But a lot of good Mexican people were praying fervently to Our Lady Guadalupe that it wouldn't happen. And just that you're aware of this, in front of abortion clinics, you'll often see the image of Our Lady Guadalupe. She's known as the pro-life image because, why? If you look at Our Lady Guadalupe, she has the black ribbon. The black ribbon, which is very high, and years ago, pregnant Mexican women would have that black ribbon pointing out the fact that they were with child. So she's the patron of the pro-life movement, okay? So, and maybe, sometime tomorrow you can maybe Google this in, is they were looking at the image and all of a sudden it was illuminated. It's like a light was shining on it even though a light was not shining on it. And they looked, as they looked closer, they could see the fetus of a baby moving back and forth in the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Remember years ago, Father Antolini was actually preaching on this in the Mass. My Father Antolini, he died a few years ago. But Father Antolini was aware of this. This is one of his homilies. And the fact that you have Our Lady there with the fetus moving up and down, illuminated. And shortly after that, they legalized abortion anyway. From that time, Mexico started to really fall apart. Remember reading an article of Father Juan Rivas, who founded Radio Guadalupe? And he wrote an article that once they legalized abortion in Mexico, Mexico had a lot of problems, but many more problems now. With the narcos and La Santa Muerte and, you know, killing priests. I would almost be afraid to go to Mexico today. No? Not to say that we have a lot of problems here. But Rivas points out, if you're going to be killing innocent babies, violence is going to spread in the country, right? If you destroy the most innocent, then you're going to be destroying other people too. So, I've left the most important miracle for last. Are you ready?
Yes, Father.
The most important miracle, these are all physical, artistic miracles, miracles of nature. But the most important of all the miracles is from 1531 on, for the next 30 years, you have 8 million converts in 30 years. Maybe my statistics are not exact, but more or less, no? You know, you read the statistics are always a little bit off, but more or less. Now, 8 million converts in 30 years. In the history of the church, there's never been such a massive conversion of people in the history of the, in 2,000 years. Such that they say mathematically it was like a Pentecost that was going on every day for 30 years. There have been studies in a Pentecost, a huge conversion there when the Holy Spirit descended. You have this wave of conversion, Peter's preaching, 3,000 converts. That's why that was the greatest miracle. Because physical miracles, bringing some back to physical life, is important. But bringing Christ to the souls of people, there's nothing greater than that.
Amen.
Right? Nothing greater than that. And that's why Pope John Paul II, of all the places that John Paul II visited, the most frequent visited place John Paul II was Our Lady Guadalupe. He was Pope for a few months and right away he goes to Mexico, then he's going to come to the United States too, visiting Our Lady Guadalupe. I think he's aware of the importance of the Blessed Virgin Mary right there in Mexico. And he proclaims Our Lady Guadalupe as the patron of the Americas. But also she is known as the Nueva Estrella de Evangelización. How do we say it in English? She's known as the new star of evangelization. Yeah. The new star of evangelization. So my friends, I'm very enthusiastic about Our Lady Guadalupe. Let's, Let's pray, all of us pray that through Mary's intercession, that God would work miracles in our lives. Pray for that. And remember those words that she said to Juan Diego, and apply that to yourself. She says, do not worry. Do you ever worry?
Yes.
Not yet? No? Do you ever worry? Why not, when you're tempted to worry, part of your consecration to Mary, some of you consecrated with me, your worries, you give them to Mary. As soon as you have a worry, give it to Mary. Give it to Mary. St. Peter says, cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Cast your cares upon Mary because she cares for you. Am I not your mother? How many mothers here? Do you love your children?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes, Father.
St. Augustine, put all the love of all the mothers of all times together. The love that Mary has for you is much greater. St. Augustine, isn't that beautiful? Put all the love of all the mothers together. The love that Mary has for you is much greater. And I think some of you mothers would be ready to die even for your children, right? Wouldn't you? I think you would. You'd be willing to sacrifice your life for your children. Well, Mary's love is much greater for each one of you individually. Mm-hmm. The crossing of her arms means that Mary has you in her heart. Mary has you in her heart. We want to seek two refuges, my friends. We want to seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. The shadow. Wherever we go, let's invite Mary to come along with us.
Yes, Father.
You know, I gave a talk on the miraculous medal. Some of you maybe went to the retreat on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love giving that talk on the miraculous medal. Wear the medal. Mm-hmm. Wear the scapular. That's a reminder of Mary, huh? And even this, asking Mary to take you and put you in her womb. A lot of mothers here, what is the purpose of a mother that has a baby in the womb? To form that baby. So that, as St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Mary wants to form in all of you the likeness of her Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Was this talk helpful tonight?
Yes, Father.
Okay, good. So let's say Hail Mary and ask Mary to work a miracle in our lives. Maybe it's going to be a moral miracle, maybe emotional, but if we believe, the mountains can be moved, huh?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners. Now, glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Eric.
Got a lot of mics there.
Thank you, Father. Why don't we give Father Ed show him our appreciation for this talk so far. Thank you, Father.